Well, if you look to the gray sheet in your bulletin, you find the main point that I want to extract and convey to you from, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You will remember that we are discussing in Colossians, Paul is discussing by way of letter to the church at Colossae, the great sacrifice Christ has done, the great work the Spirit has done in our life by circumcising us, cutting away that sin. That is what is pictured in our baptism. That is what is pictured in what in that great sacrament of the church, the washing of the water that shows the washing of the water with the Word as the Spirit comes in and convicts of sin and redeems us, etc., etc., etc. And so now Paul turns on his heel midway through this epistle, and he begins talking then about the outflow, the spiritually natural outflow of the truth of all who Christ is and all that Christ has done in the life of the believer. And so we've made our way through this idea of putting to death what is earthly in us, of putting on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, as we bear with one another, forgiving each other. And above all, we put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed we were called in one body, and be thankful. And we've been compelled to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we sing that word of Christ in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. It was interesting this week as I was going back over some things, seeing how people dance around the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs as they relate to teaching and admonishing one another. Speaking merely of the lyrics in the music of the church, not the Word of God being the lyrics of the worship of the church. And so now in the two previous verses, we have been urged to be thankful in the midst of that love, in the midst of that truth of the Word of Christ. And now Paul devotes an entire sentence to it, not just as a tag on to another idea, but tells us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He has given us specific things to do, to put on love, to forgive one another, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as we teach and admonish one another with the Word of Christ, to bear with one another, to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to understand, to discern that we were called in one body by Christ. He in all these things points us to what we should do. And now in 3:17, He compels us that in whatever we do in word or deed, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so the main point that I want to extract and drive home to you today is for you to cultivate a gospel-saturated life of thankfulness. To cultivate a gospel-saturated life of thankfulness. There can be nothing so unsettling on one hand, or annoying on the other hand, depending on how indignant of a person you are, as ingratitude in the life of someone else. Particularly the life of a child. You know that moment when you have done all you can do do something great for a kid, whether it be your own kid or someone else's kid, and you think, wow, they are really going to love this and be impressed with this, and they are going to think I am the greatest thing since sliced bread, whatever that means, I don't know. But they are going to think this is wonderful, and then you go through the presentation, you go through the giving of the gift, you go through whatever it is, and they look at you and say, nothing new? This is almost as nice as the stuff I've had before. Thanks for trying, they might say. Now, if we extrapolate that to our childhood towards God and all the good gifts He has given us, all the Spirit-empowered ways in which we can put on love, can forgive one another, etc., 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 all the things I've just mentioned twice now, and we say, oh, I want to encourage you this morning to cultivate a gospel-saturated life of thankfulness. First, do this by understanding. Understand what it means to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to do this? Well, I think a helpful trifecta of thoughts is this, that it's doing something through His assistance. Consciously aware, I could not possibly be doing this if the Spirit of Christ was not working in my heart and life. So doing it through His assistance. Doing it according to His command and will. Put on love. Forgive one another. Clear commands in Scripture, and so we do it out of that command. Thirdly, for the promotion of His glory. Lord, as this is done, Your name be glorified. Your name be promoted on the list of names that folk would turn to be the only one that they turn to. And really, this idea of doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ entails all three, because doing the right thing for the wrong reason is just like doing the wrong thing and enter in our depravity, because everything we do is tainted by that sin, even though it might be a good thing. Doing it so that others will look at us and praise us, or doing it out of a sense of a vain duty that perhaps God will look on me with favor if I do this for Him, etc., etc. The list goes on and is as infinite as there are infinite numbers of people and motives within people. And so we strive constantly after doing these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing everything through His assistance, according to His command and will, and for the promotion of His glory. And you'll see how my main points this morning are interrelated, so we must move on to the next to even begin to develop the first. Don't compartmentalize the gospel. It's impossible. If you are able to compartmentalize the gospel in your life, if you are able to make it impact this part of your life and not that part, may I be so bold as to tell you, it is not the gospel you are compartmentalizing. It is a gospel of your own making that says, this part of me can be changed. The Sabbath, the Lord's Day part of me can be one way, and the Monday through Saturday part of me can be another way. We must do everything. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 11:36 reminds us, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. And while cosmically we can look at that and say, yes, the universe came from Him, the purpose of the universe is Him, and the destination of the universe is Him, that applies also to all the cosmic things in the largeness of our own life. So that even the most minute of decisions and details of life become of massive importance. I love to see how auto manufacturers convey their automobiles and how they point out things that would make us want to buy their car. Mercedes-Benz has a fantastic promotion going on right now that I would like to steal from in regards to the gospel. Because they say, they begin talking about performance. Is performance measured by 0 to 60 or by 60 to 0? Does it matter how fast you can go or how fast you can stop? Does it matter how crazy you can be or how safe you can be? Does it matter that you get the thrill of driving or that you survive driving? It doesn't matter if you have a wild ride, if you die in the end because you're in an unsafe car. And throughout this commercial is juxtaposed varying pictures of performance and the safety tests that they have run on these cars. Does it matter how it performs in the quarter mile or how it performs in a quarter century? Et cetera, et cetera. And their catchphrase at the end of this commercial is this: because in the end, everything matters. That's what Paul is telling us in this verse. There is nothing in our life that is not under the mediatorial kingship of Christ. And so therefore, the gospel invades everything we do. And when it does not, it is sin. Even the good things. Yes, even the good things. If the gospel is not there and present and pointing that part of your life back to Christ, it is sin. So don't compartmentalize the gospel. So, therefore, all things are done through His assistance, according to His command and will, and for the promotion of His glory. This is cultivating that gospel-saturated life. Three, realize the outer actions of our lives interrelate specifically with the inner actions of our hearts. He talks here about in word or deed, giving thanks to God, that all these things are locked together. When I see that phrase, in word or deed, my mind goes back to Acts chapter 1, where Luke has written the letter to Theophilus, the gospel, and now he is recording the Acts of the Apostles, and he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. And so the idea there that Jesus began to do and to teach these things as related to Luke's gospel is that the Acts of the Apostles are the continuation of all the things that Jesus was doing and teaching in His church and to His church through the apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so while I, at this point, cannot expound specifically on how that comes into our words and deeds, I can say that that same Spirit that was continuing to do and to teach, to do and to say in the early church is continuing that work in the life of the believer. So that all things that we do and say are impacted by the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. And this dichotomy, this compartmentalization is not just internal, it's internal to external as well. But what flows out of our heart and life does truly reflect our heart. Just as what Christ said and did in this life reflected the heart of who He was, the God-man, living in perfect righteousness. And so simple phrases like James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And my friends, I have to shudder when I think back even 24 hours in my life to think of the times when my tongue has been unbridled, has been unrestrained. And so even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of the confession of our sin, we are confessing that this requirement is found in James 1:26 is not true of us. That we are inconsistent on what we want from the inside and what flows out to the outside. And so we confess that sin to Christ and we come to Him and we bow the knee and we give thanks to God in all things, knowing that our inside and our outside must correlate. That's part of the uniqueness of Christ, because He's the only human being in the history of mankind to be completely consistent, both in His internal thoughts and His outward actions. Absolutely 100% consistent. And so the actions of our lives are interrelated specifically with the interactions or thoughts or motives, feelings, however you want to phrase that, of the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart is what comes from the mouth. What our hands do is what our mind tells them to do. And so we see that this impacts not just external realities of what we do and say. This is driving home to the very heart of who we are. The outward actions of our lives interrelate specifically with the interactions of our hearts. So as we cultivate a gospel-saturated life, as we cultivate a life where the truth of our salvation is soaking into every pore, every square inch of our being, we begin to live a life of thankfulness. And we begin to be, number four, we begin to be a directionally thankful person. Not just giving thanks, but giving thanks to God the Father. And this comes against the general anemic spirituality of our age. I read a great blog post that said, you know, when people say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. You ever heard someone say that? Well, I'm really more of a spiritual person than I am a religious person. And this wonderful blog post where this guy analyzes words and how they're used, he said, what that means is nothing. That doesn't mean anything. He says, as I scrape the bottom of my mind, the best I can come up with, someone saying I am spiritual and not religious means I live however I want to live and hope that somehow, somewhere, the universe is shining down on me because I have the guts to do what I want to do. And I would be willing to wager that anyone you know who says something like, I am spiritual, not religious, or I'm not into church, I'm more spiritual, really they would mean that. And in this day and age in which we live, people don't give thanks to God the Father, they just give thanks. I'm thankful. Well, thanks is a directional thing. If I walk into the kitchen and my wife hears me, or my wife walks into the kitchen, I'm in there doing something, and she hears me say, thank you. Her first thought is going to be, who are you talking to? Oh, no one in particular. I'm just thankful. I'm just a thankful person. See, exhibiting thanks admits that there's something coming from a particular direction. And so I don't want the saints in Sterling to just be thankful people. I want you to be thankful to God the Father. In Habakkuk 1:16, where Habakkuk is complaining to God again about these dominating other cultures who just chew up and spit out nations, if I can paraphrase. He makes a statement. He says, therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. And this shows a secular heart which is present in our own day and age, that really, by sacrificing to their nets, they're sacrificing to themselves. I have the life I have because I built the life I have. I accomplished this. I did this. And we still do that today. We still sacrifice to ourselves for what we have. Thank you, Joel, for giving me what you have given me. That might seem a little ludicrous or bold, but if we really think about it, that's where our hearts naturally want to veer. It's to being grateful for what we have done. When someone retires well-to-do, we think, wow, they did everything right. Wow. They went and got the right degree at the right institution. Then they went and got the right job. Then they went and got the right salary so that they could put away the right amount so that they could have just the right amount to retire well off. They did everything right. Someone retires with not too much. Boy, are they dumb. Bless their hearts. They should have prepared better. They should have planned better. They should have done more. They should have gone and gotten the right degree at the right institution. And they should have gone and gotten the right job and gotten the right salary so they could put the right amount away, so they have just the right amount so they could retire well-to-do. Our first issue here as Christians is we don't find retirement in the Bible. That's the first issue. Moving beyond that into the culture in which we live. Using our life till the last day. No matter how well-to-do we are, or if we're poor as church mice, using everything and being thankful to God for it. But how can we be thankful to God for everything in our life? How can everything we do and say be exhibiting a life of thankfulness to God the Father? Well, it's because we do it through Christ. We do it through Him. Gospel saturation comes as you see all of life mediated by Christ. And you're thankful. You're thankful. Understanding Him as your true mediator between God and yourself, knowing that all comes our way by the Father through Christ, gives us the gospel vision for all circumstances in our lives. Remember that parallel passage to Colossians 3:17, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I might say, some people try to get through life by saying, yes, it is God's will for us to give thanks. And I would say, no, it is God's will, all the circumstances in which we are to give thanks. We see this command to give thanks in all circumstances and to exude thanks in everything we do. No long as a pithy little saying, but as a driving force in our discipleship and personal spiritual formation. When we begin to see Christ as the mediator. When we begin to see all things as coming from the hand of the Father. Finally, we can give thanks for that straying child. For in that pain, we have sought ourselves to not stray and to be closer to God. Finally, we can give thanks for that broken marriage. For in that pain, we have sought ourselves the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we too are broken. Finally, we can give thanks for that hope deferred because we discovered on our knees that Jesus is our one true hope. Finally, we can give thanks for the disappointments we face when political promises fall far too short of our desired goals because now we begin to see Christ coming into focus on the throne, ruling and reigning there as our mediatorial King. And do not think that it is all the pits of life in which this applies. Finally, we can give proper thanks for that new job. For it was Christ calling us to provide for our families in the kingdom. Finally, we can give proper thanks for that wonderful marriage. For it is Christ, our Bridegroom, who has so blessed us. Finally, we can give proper thanks for such a great salvation that has driven us to holiness and blessedness, not just positionally or doctrinally, but experientially. Or at least I hope that is your experience this morning, that you have received and experienced such a great salvation. Christ is the mediator. And so all things, whether we deem them good or bad, come through Him from the Father. And so our thanks must go right back through Him to the Father. Thanks because He is using all things for our good. For the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And so when we come to little verses like Colossians 3, that say, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When you come to those, don't let legalism soak in. Don't think, well, I better do this. Yes, you must do this, but you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it without the assistance, or according to the command, or without the promotion of His glory. You cannot do it unless it is truly done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, once you begin to see all things as coming through Christ from the Father, you will be thankful. Cultivate that understanding. Cultivate that perception in your own life. Cultivate a gospel-saturated life of thankfulness.